I was thinking last night, I was looking at something. I was in Bible school back in 1990. I started in Bible school. And I went there for a couple years in a little town called Rocky Mount, Virginia. I haven't spoke of that much for those days. That's where I met the best woman in the world. I was there and graduated, and then I think she came in right after, and then I was traveling and doing some things and living there and helping teach at the school and all of that. Anyway, I didn't mean to bring that part up. One of the things that I thoroughly enjoyed in Bible school was the ministry that would come in and teach. And I always just looked forward to that ministry coming in, the Word of God. I was definitely one of the guys that talked about the Lord a lot and fellowshipped, talked, wanted to learn everything I could, all that type of thing. There was a ministry that would come in, and there was this gentleman that I really enjoyed teaching. He was an older gentleman. I don't know if they called him a prophet or an apostle. He was an elder. He traveled around preaching. And so I was thinking about him last night, actually, and I looked up on YouTube to find him. And he passed away now. He's passed away. But one of the things I found was a teaching. I only listened to about 15 minutes of it or so. He started off, he's 90 years old. His name's Eldon Wilson. And he started off reading some scripture, and I thought, my God, that's good. Like the scripture and the point he was going to make was so good, I thought, you know, I just want to tell everybody what he said. And he referenced the book of Acts, chapter 2, and how the day of Pentecost was so great, right? Like, What an amazing day for the church. There was no church back then, like at that point. In the Bible, there were synagogues that the Jews had set up to read the law of Moses. Right, Keith? And that's what they would do. They would go into the synagogues and read the law of Moses or the scriptures of the Old Testament. That's what they would do. So all of a sudden, Jesus comes along, and now these apostles are here. And how many know that the book of Acts really is in reference to the Acts of the apostles of Jesus Christ, right? So basically, the book of Acts is the setting up of the church upon the apostles' doctrine and Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. That's what the book of Acts does. So if you haven't read the book of Acts lately, whew, just you need to. Like, you want to see what God's doing in our church? Go read that book, okay? Anyway, he was talking about how the Acts chapter 2 was like a foundational part of the church, the pouring out of the Holy Ghost. What a glorious time. And I was like, yeah, that's true. But then he said there's a verse that has been overlooked a lot by a lot of people. Now, we haven't overlooked it here. I don't believe we have. And it's found in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And you guys will be very familiar with it. I'm going to read it to you. Acts chapter 2, 42. And it says, is it up there? It says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And in the breaking of, and in fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. Now imagine, and this was his point, I'm not going to reteach what he taught last night, I'm just mentioning this part. Imagine what Acts chapter 2 would have been if Acts 2:42 does not exist. And they continued in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in the fellowship. They continued in the breaking of bread. They continued in prayers. Imagine our church today. Where would we be if even the Word of God had not been written to continue in what the apostles followed Jesus after and then continued in? And then the Lord shows up in the 2000s in a small town of Hodgkins, 15 miles outside of Chicago, and says, I want to create a temple of God, physically and spiritually, to where we can continue in what the apostles started through Jesus Christ, and in the fellowship, and in the breaking of bread, and in prayers. What if we decided, all of us sitting here, we were not going to be faithful to continue? Now I'm in my own thought now, outside of that. What if we decided we were not going to continue? What happens to this church? What happens to your temple? What happens to your body? What happens? What? Where's Jesus, right? Where's truth? Where's the hope is gone? Where is the growth and the building of God's kingdom? Where's it at if we don't continue?
It no longer exists.
It doesn't exist. So if something is started, somebody's got to help it continue to keep it going so that it reaches what God intended for it to reach. True?
Yes.
Are we that one? Are we those people? That's what I'm asking. Are we those people?
Yes.
We are. Okay. That's awesome. So what are you doing? What are you doing to help the kingdom and continue in the apostles' doctrine? What are you doing? Dave, pointing to something. What are you pointing at, Dave? That's what you're doing. So you're telling me that's what I'm doing.
Yes,
we're doing what you're reading, bro. That's what we're doing. So will if the Spirit of Jesus Christ is in our church, will we ever forget the apostles' doctrine? Will we ever forget the doctrines of Christ, which the apostles' doctrines were built on? Will we ever forget the fellowship? Will we ever forget the breaking of bread? Who is the bread?
Jesus.
What's that make you? Yeah. Part of him. So aren't you the bread of life? So what are you breaking your bread? One with another?
Dan, is that like sharing every word you have one with another?
Why not? Yeah. Right on. Why don't you share your bread? Why don't you have communion one with another? Do we need communion every Sunday? Yes. How's that work? Let's break some bread. Let's drink his blood. Let's do his will. Let's stay in the fellowship of the apostles' doctrine. Let's stay in prayer. And this is big. Are we still praying? We should be. Now, and then I want to add into that because something Keith preached on Thursday night. If you weren't there, it's cool. I'm going to tell you about it. One of the things that stood out that Keith has been on and after for a little while is about the hidden religion that still works in people and how that in the inward man, if God's doing the work of God, is he going to remove the thoughts of religion or the spirits of religion that work against the Spirit of God? And so the focus, Keith, right, was to say, let's look inward and let's not allow religion to keep us looking outward, but to look inward. Was there more to your thought on that? That's the thought, was to say, okay, if I'm looking inward, God can judge every part of the heart. What does continuing in the apostles' doctrine do for us? Does it reprove you? Does it correct you? Does it instruct you? Man, does it bring you to the fullness of Christ? Does it reveal the Pharisee that lives within? Oh, that's that Pharisee image that I would never be part of. Too late. You've already done it. I promise you that. But the cool part is when Jesus came and the apostles came, they made division, didn't they? Well, let me ask you guys a question. Put up a scripture, Philippians 2, 5, and 6. We're going to start in 5. Philippians 2, 5, and 6. What's it say, Tim? You got a microphone?
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus.
What mind? The mind of Christ. Hello. Continuing in. Wasn't the apostles' doctrine doing that very thing? You know, I feel good about repeating what this gentleman said during that teaching. Now, he went on to say some other things, and I was like, I'm good. I got the thought you wanted. I'm ready. I got it. Because we're doing it. It's not a, I heard this, oh my God, we got to start doing it. We are doing that in this church. We are continuing in the apostles' doctrine. That's why everything that was in verse 1 through 4 that Paul was saying in Philippians, we're not going to read it. That's why we can say the same way Jesus thinks, we're going to think that way because we are continuing in the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, the prayers. We're doing that, James. And so the mind of Christ is working among us. It is working. Okay? But verse 6, I'm getting to a question. Verse 6 says, being in the form of God, who's that talking about?
Jesus.
Thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Notice the word in the form of God. In the form of God. And I want you to look at that form for a second. And I'm going to present that side by side with another scripture. Okay? And I want you to tell me the difference of what it means to be formed like Jesus was formed in the likeness of God. Because, boy, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. Whew, that's a heavy statement, isn't it? All right. Where's the other verse? It's the form of godliness. Who knows where that's at?
There's 2 Timothy 3:5.
That's it. 2 Timothy 3:5. Now listen, this is talking about in the last days. In the last days, this is the kind of stuff that's going to come up in the last days. And trust me, we are in it. Okay, go ahead.
Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof.
This is what people will do in the last days. They will have a form of godliness, but will deny the power of godliness. What's the difference between that form and the form that Jesus was in of God? Because he was in the form of God and thought it not robbery to be equal with God. And then this form is in a form of godliness. Are they two different forms?
Yes. Yes, they are.
What's the difference?
One of them actually thinks like God and the other one
doesn't. Okay, I like it.
That's a religious mindset.
That's a religious mindset. Carnal.
Yeah, Christ had the nature of God and the other was just hypocrisy.
Okay, now, see, the nature of God and versus hypocrisy. Listen, that's why I love what Keith preached. Keith, I got to add to it, bro. You stirred me up, man. And it's for our church. What are we learning in the apostles' doctrine? how to be in the form of God? Or are we learning how to be in the form of godliness? Because what does the form of godliness do? It denies the very power and existence of Jesus Christ. It denies being equal with God. And don't think of that equal as, for us, like, oh, me and God were exactly the same, like, I'm God now. So when he needs advice, he's going to come to me. Don't think of it in that sense. But when you stand before God and he looks upon your nature and goes, I see my son, I see my daughter, they're in the likeness of me. What do you think he's going to hand over to you? Oh, yeah. Not only a kingdom, he might hand over to you kingdoms to oversee, worlds. What could he do? Say, for example, if the Lord looks upon your heart and says, this is a faithful servant. They have learned and given themselves to the teachings of my doctrine. They have fellowshipped with me, with angels, with the saints, with one another. They have fellowshipped in the words of the apostles. They have fellowshipped. They have loved me in all forms of God. That is true. And then they have taken what they have received and they have broken bread amongst themselves. They have broken bread with the saints of heaven. They have broken bread with the saints in the earth. They have broken bread with the angelic realm. They have broken bread with all of it. And then in prayer, they have brought it all back to the Father. Because that's what you're praying to, aren't you? So if you are in the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship and the breaking of bread, what do you think your prayers will bring back to the Lord? All of that, Brad? Yeah. Go ahead, Brad.
In the latter part of that verse, it says, from such turn away. Right there, he's showing how to continue in his doctrine, right? In truth, and showing that thought right there does not continue.
It doesn't. Okay, good. From such turn away, Brad said, in case you didn't hear online. Turn away. Isn't that putting off the old man?
Yeah.
We're back to it. We can't get away from any of it. We are in it now. We turn away. In other words, you don't continue steadfastly in the form of godliness is how you don't continue steadfastly. How many of you, we've asked this 100 times and you've answered yes every single time, so I suspect that it'll be no different. How many of you have ever had a problem with what the apostles have said? On some level, right? Well, there could be a lot of reasons. You don't understand it. That's one. Okay, we'll learn it then. Well, then there's another reason. I just don't like what they said. That means I have to change. So, and if I have to change, well, then I'm not happy. And if I'm not happy, well, then nobody's happy. I hope that's not true. Let's hope that if you're not happy, I can still be happy if you're not happy. I still want to be happy, everybody. So the thing about what I'm after this morning is let's take a look at what God has been doing here. And I keep reminding everybody about the journey we've been on because we have never left what God started here. We've never left it. We're not random. We just don't do random. Like, in other words, oh, this is a good subject. Let's just go teach on this on Sunday. This is going to be awesome for the people. They're going to love it. And then they're going to tell us how good it is, Tim. No, it's not like that, is it? It's never random here. This is building a house. This is building a kingdom. This is building an angel. This is building a son of God. This is building cherubims. This is building thrones. We're building kingdoms of God that are going to reach eternities. In other words, all of that is building within you. That's amazing. And God's not done building yet. He's not done. And so none of it's random. It's all teaching us to come to the perfection that Jesus said you could come to. If he said, be holy as I am holy, does that mean it's possible? Ooh. Even when you look at yourself in the mirror, so to speak, and you judge yourself as being evil, it's still possible because prophecy is at work, or the words from the beginning have been put into play. That means we can still follow it. So are we still going to learn about the new man and the old man? Yes. Are we still, I'm still going to get to this. I'm not done yet. Putting a difference between the old man and the man of sin. We're not done yet. I've got to show you some things so it's pretty clear. But here's the thing. The Lord is teaching you through the apostles' doctrine how to turn away from the form of godliness. See, I love when Keith comes along and says, don't forget that there are hidden religions still in your heart. Wait, I'm saved. What do you mean, still there? Sanctify them through thy word. Is that what Jesus prayed? What does that tell you? If he had to pray that, what does that say to us? That there's still some sanctification need to take place. So every washing of the water of the word, is the Lord sanctifying you? Yes. Now, here's what I want to ask. How many of you hear the word and turn on it? Turn to it. Instantly. What do you think? How many of you hear the word and turn to it? Or how many of you hear the word and go, whew, I got some work to do? What do you think? Is there still traces of unbelief still working among us? That where we have to mull out what God said to us for the next 2 months? I got to think about this. Maybe you don't understand it. There's always that. So if you don't understand it, it's not that you're not trying not to turn to it. It's just you don't know how. You got to work through it. So what is that? You just keep continuing, don't you? Okay, that's cool. That works. And God looks favorably upon that. It's when a word comes to you and you're even battling the lie in you of the old man. Is that acceptable to God that you would have to now hear the word of God and the old man is there to confront you? Is that still the will of God for that to happen? Yes. Sure. Sure. What is not the will of God during that? Yeah, that you agree with the old man and go, yeah, I really hate that word. I'm gonna sit on that for a while. And instead of turning to the Lord and working your way through it, you just disappear. Like, do nothing. If I don't know what to do, I do nothing. Is that the best way? Well, at least turn to God and know that the Lord's the only one that's going to help you deal with that old man anyway. Right? In other words, I'm asking, in the turning of it, I say immediately, but I don't mean that you turn immediately to it and it's fixed instantly. Sometimes that is not the case, is it? Sometimes you need to make the journey, and that's okay. But the key here is when I am continuing in this word of God that he's given us, am I turning to the Lord when he says something? Yes, the enemy still might be there, but he is turning. We said something, James and I was just talking out in my car a few minutes ago. And our conversation, this is what, when we're fellowshipping, it it should stir you up. But we got into Job for a minute. Job and how he went before the Lord. And remember how, and really the conversation James was asking me about some of Gary's teachings on the table, sitting at the table. So we ended up in Job, and we're talking about Job standing before the Lord with the sons of God. And who came with the sons of God?
Satan.
Satan, right? Satan. And we go, okay, so God talked to Satan, but remember, first he talked to Job and the sons of God. But then Satan was there. But then God says, okay, I brought Satan here. You brought him. I brought him. Same thing. And so I'm going to use Satan to perfect Job. So if you want to know what the story of Job is, that's really it, that in a nutshell. God uses Satan to perfect Job, right? To show him things that was in him that he didn't know. So Job was in a place where he was going to learn here. Okay, that's great. But did that happen when they all left heaven, the book of Job? Did that happen when they all left heaven and went back into the earth and then Job experienced all of that? Or did Job remain in heaven and him and Satan have the conversation standing before God, and Job went through all of that standing in the presence of God? And then the book of Job was just written to help relate what went on in heaven so that we could understand it. What do you guys think? What do you think? Oh, never thought of that, huh? Is it possible that God seats you in a heavenly place to teach you heavenly things? Well, that makes sense now. So do you think they had to leave heaven to go learn? Or could Job, in the presence of God, stand there and be taught with the devil present, with God judging the whole thing, and yet never leave heaven, and yet in the earth, the whole parable worked itself out? Is that the way it happened, Dave? I'm telling you it did. So if you don't know how to answer that, and here's the thing. This is why we've always said, would you rather learn it in the earth or would you rather learn it in heaven? Do you want to be seated in heavenly places and learn, or do you want to be just grounded in the earth and learn everything that way? Well, if you want to learn it in heaven, you got to have a good consciousness here. You got to have a consciousness, first of all, that believes in heaven. Second of all, you got to have a consciousness that believes in the spirit realm. And also, you've got to find the inward part of you that still hangs on to earthly things and earthly thinking. Because if you think you're going to go through the Job story only in the earth, then you're going to miss out on understanding that God is a spirit. Job himself was angelic as a son of God, and the sons of God were there, and also Satan, who is a spiritual being. All of this has to take place in heavenly places. So why do you think you need to learn how to pray? There you go. So you can enter into heavenly places. If you're still praying just earthly and you're wanting to go through earthly parables, could you be missing a lot of things in the earthly parable? Yeah, you could. Why is that? Because in the earthly mind, what are you thinking of?
Earth.
Earth. Earth is, yeah, it's beneath God, isn't it? You're going to keep it outward and you're going to miss a lot of things, right? Discerning the spirits is going to be hard to work there. But if you're in heavenly places seated with the Lord, then it's a great place to learn. And then, no wonder the devil couldn't take Job's life. No wonder. You're not taking life in this place. Not going to do it. See, in the earth, you could suffer a lot of things, and then that body is going to die eventually. And no matter what earth it is, it's going to die. But in the heavenly place, God's in charge of that place. The devil has no say. He only gets to do what God says. So imagine you standing before God, going through all of that with the devil and learning all of that while God sits and judges the whole thing. You feel safe now? That's a safe place. That's a place to learn. What does the apostles' doctrine teach us to do? Sit in heavenly places? It does. Go read them. We don't have to look up all the scriptures. Go read them. Go read about the apostles and how they talk about, even Paul in Colossians 3. He's like, set your affections on things above, Megan, not on things of the earth, on things above. Why? Because that's where you're going to get to learn about who you really are. No, I got to go to earth to learn all that. Really?
If you're risen with
Christ. Yeah. If you're risen with Christ. Come on, man. That's good stuff. If you're risen with Christ. So if you're seated there, what do you think God will show you if you're seated in His presence? What do you think He will show you? He'll show you everything that's in you that's of Satan. Mm-mm-mm. And you say, listen, here's the problem. Like, say for example, what if I walk up to you? I mentioned this the other night about the fool, you know, because Ecclesiastes tells us about the fool. A fool won't shut up, right? A fool will go into the house of God and won't stop talking. And Solomon, the preacher, is telling us, be quiet in the house of God and let fellowship with God. Don't just talk, right? What if in the earth you act like a fool because your consciousness just works that manifestation? So in the earth, I just come up, I say, Tim, you're a fool. How does that sound? How does that go over? If you only hear it in the earth, how does that go over?
Not well.
Matter of fact, you probably ain't coming to this church anymore. But what if we're in heavenly places? And God's got you there as a child of God, and He's got the devil there, and says, there's a fool working in you. Here he is. What if the heavenly place discovers all of that? See, the earth tries to teach you that there's fools in the earth. Well, isn't it interesting that everybody else is the fool, not me? Everybody else. That's how we learn, right? We learn that other people are fools. But isn't it funny, one of the greatest weaknesses of people in the earth is that they can see it in others and can't see it in themselves. Whoa. Not in heaven. In the heavenly place, you're going to see it as it is. Because when the Lord stands before you, He reveals all things and shows you exactly what it is. Therefore, there's only one way to accomplish this in an earthly situation like this, is when you and I, or you and Gary, or you and Keith, you and an elder, or you in ministry, get together to counsel, and the apostles' doctrine comes forth to discover the old man in you. You must be spiritually minded to hear it. You hear me? You think Job could have just went through all of that in the earth and overcome? Or did he need to be in the presence of God to comprehend that stuff? I mean, imagine God showing you some of the most wicked things that work in your heart just in the earth. Could you take it? That's what happens to people that discover things and are not in heaven getting it discovered. You're discovering it in the earth. You fall away because it's too heavy.
Just
No, there's no division. You can't separate it from you as your physical body. Me as a person, that foolish or that wickedness is still me. Gotta have the mind of Christ. Back to Philippians 2. That's why you need the mind of Christ to stand in the presence of God. So when we come together in this church, what does the apostles' doctrine, the fellowship, the breaking of bread, and the prayers all consist of? It should consist of the mind of Christ. Shouldn't it? That's a Holy Ghost church. Oh, my goodness. Look, I just get up here and just trust the Lord, man. Like, do I plan all this out? No. I just say, God, take us where you want us to go. And God says, I'll tell you what, tell them this. And then let's all get to heaven. What do you think this church is doing in the preaching and teaching of the Lord? What are we doing? It's teaching us how to sit in the heavenly place, isn't it? The mind of Christ is what puts you there. Where do you think Jesus, remember when Jesus went off to pray at times and he went up into the mountain? No, it just says mountain.
He wasn't there.
You think he descended to heaven? You bet. You bet he did. Did he think that way? Or did he have fellowship with his Father? See, he knew how to pray, everybody. So why have I been after? And I'm done. But what have we been after about in prayers and seeking the Lord? We have been after, we need to learn how to pray the right prayers, but there's a reason for that. I don't want to just come in and say remove every prayer. That's not the point. The prayer is to teach us how to pray heavenly prayers, so that we're in the mind of Christ when we pray. And in that case, if you're sitting in a heavenly place, do you think God could discover anything in you and you'd be okay with it? That'd be the place to learn it, wouldn't it? So that's why I have to sometimes in this life, instead of just coming out and saying, hey, Satan, come here. And you're like, he ain't talking to me. I know he ain't talking to me. Tim's by me. He's talking to you. No, it's more like, hey, come over here. Let's have a chat. And then you got to work it in. Listen, if we were all spiritual, could we just talk face to face? Could we just talk plain and deal with some Satans and some devils and some old man and some man of sin and some Pharisees and some hypocrites and... We could deal with all that, couldn't we? The blood wouldn't boil. No, you know what would happen? The blood would flow. The blood of Jesus would flow and the forgiveness would work. That's what would happen. So I encourage you, say, where are we still going? We're still going and we're continuing in these things. That's why that short word that I heard last night, him mention, and it stirred me up because it's something we're already doing. And it rings so true. And I think that the Lord has got so much more for us. So much more. And we're not in a rush. Everybody know that? Not in a rush. You're not trying to get to heaven first. Okay? Are you ready? Are you ready to continue? I mean, I hope that I've stirred your heart to say, yeah, let's learn it. Let's learn it in the presence of God, man. And can God come to us? Yeah. Is it still his presence? Is it still a heavenly place? Yeah. Yeah, so do I have to dream of being in heaven? No. Get your mind right. Get your mind in a spiritual place, and we can talk about anything. Is it that simple? Yeah. No, I need to be in a vision. Get your mind in a heavenly place. Your mind is a heavenly place, if it is a heavenly place. If it's of the earth, well, it's an earthly place. If your mind is of a heavenly place, then we can sit in the heavenly places sipping over a coffee or a Coke or a cheeseburger, either one. We can be in a heavenly place talking about the presence of God. Can we not? So I hope I just simplified that thought. There you go. That's the problem with most people. Their mind is not in a heavenly place to receive reproof, correction, instruction. And that's to a good point there. If your mind of Christ is working, you will always receive reproof. Always in correction. But if you're earthly minded, you're going to struggle. You're going to struggle. And therefore, you're going to notice something. You wonder why we do this, but it's true. Sometimes when I see that you receive it in an earthly mind, I back off. I'm not pressing the buttons. You know why? Because I don't need your earthly mind to be offended in anger. I need you to stay with us and continue, so I'll back off. And you say, well, you left me in it. I had to, right? Can everybody agree with that? I had to. Your will chose that. Or would you rather me contend with you and hurt you? Okay, there you go. So we leave you there for a bit. Then, out of the memory of God, we will come back after we've done this, taught you, teach you, help you, guide you. Do you know what? The best thing you could ever do is just keep coming back. That is, bro. That's the love of God. And therefore, that's why we do it. So it's a good point. It's a good point. And if you're honest with yourself, I've done it too. I've done it in the past where I received it in an earthly mind and didn't know what to do with it. It's cool. And it's just time to get past that mindset. Mind of Christ, JM. Mind of Christ. Good stuff. Anybody else? Well, let's stand up and join in agreement. You guys love the Lord, don't you?
Yes.
Yeah, I know you do. I know you do. And I love that you love the Lord. And it's a joy coming here every week and talking and fellowshipping and learning and growing. And it's even a joy dealing with, the evil. Because you know the outcome. That's what I mean by that. You know the outcome of the overcomer. And so if you want to join hands with your neighbor, Lord, bless your people today. Your word has been so good to us. It baptizes us weekly, daily into the heavenly place. And that's our prayer today, Lord. Continue to open our understanding and our eyes to see the mind of Christ in the heavenly place, that we may sit with you often, daily, receiving of your word, receiving and bringing to you in tithes and offerings many such words that you have graciously given to us. Bring them back to you. We love you, Lord. Thank you for your word today. In Jesus' name, amen.